one on already. Okay, our limit of Hilchas Lashon Hara is Yischus Refuah Shleima for Yosef Dov Ben Chayla B'Sar Shal Chayli Yisrael. So we said that the Chofetz Chaim actually brought three categories of Arach Lashon Hara. Rebbe Chana Wasserman was Mechadish a fourth one. The Chofetz Chaim said, the first one is when you have an implication in what you say that there is Lashon Hara to be spoken about, like, don't ask me, or I don't speak Lashon Hara, therefore I don't want to tell you, anything like that. Those sort of things where you're implying that there is Lashon Hara to say, but I'm not actually saying anything wrong. Yeah, that was the first one. The second one is when you say things like, look how well he turned out. Yeah, my wife says that all the time. Yeah, she says, you know, pupils who are, she teaches in, not kindergarten, she teaches reception class. And she says that some of the boys, you know, that there were such problems when they were children, or they were obnoxious, whatever it was, they were really difficult children when they were. And look how wonderful they turned out. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, they grew up and they went to yeshiva and they got married and now they're askonim and they're talmid chachomim and whatever it is. Yeah, and you compare. So you say, look how well he turned out. Look how good he is now. Look how and they say sometimes it runs in families even. They have such sorrows with their children. They're constantly backwards and forwards with the school and their, you know, the problems. And Kanayanara, afterwards they turn out to be great children. Yeah, but that's also, there's the implication when you say how wonderful the child is now, or the grown-up is now, you're suggesting the same thing with Baalei Tshuva. You know, considering where they came from. Or considering the fact that he's thick. Yeah? Yeah, I remember there was a shidduch which was suggested for a relative of mine, and I made inquiries about the boy, and I remember I was told this loshen, he's as thick as two planks. That's what they said. He's as thick as two pieces of wood. Yeah, thick as two planks, yeah. Baruch Hashem, the shidduch happened, and he got married, and Baruch Hashem, he's got a fine family, and he has shiurim, and he learns, and he, you know, so somebody would say, well, considering that he is thick as two planks, yeah, that he had such a bad reputation, that he was stupid, yeah, and he's good in business as well, yeah. And people say that about businessmen as well. They say that, you know, they say things like, you know, you can see that business depends on muscle. Yeah, the Horaya, Ployni, who's so stupid, is making millions. Yeah, we used to say in Hasmonean, we used to say that when we were in school, yeah, we were divided into the A group and the B group. Yeah, all the clever boys went into the A group, and all the thickies went into the B group. And 10 years later, the A group are working for the B group. Yeah, that's what you say. Yeah, so the Maisa, when you say things like that, says the Chofetz Chaim, when you say, look how well he turned out, despite the fact that he came from such a bad background or whatever it is, that's called Lashon Hara, that's Avak Lashon Hara. It's Avak Lashon Hara. In other words, I'm saying something good about the person. I'm not saying a bad word about him. I'm saying, look how wonderful he is. But because I'm adding that, despite the fact that he came from wherever he came, that's Avak Lashon Hara. As I said, we've got two other categories, one from the Chofetz Chaim and one from Rebbe Chonon, which we'll do on Sunday, Mr. Shem.
Start your day, the Turnaway, Northwest London, Friday, Kofbe 7, 28th June, Rabbi Natan Kahalani Shlita, Sitzis. This week, Turnaway is sponsored by the family of Brody, the initials of their father and grandfather, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rav Levi Gabriel, Rav Levi, the friend of Rochel, and Rav Levi Gabriel ben Rav Natan Chaim, Rav Levi, the friend of Rochel, who is Yatsai, will not Shabbos.
Good morning. Okay, so I wanted to discuss a little bit the mitzvah of tzitzis, that we have at the end of the parasha. We have the mitzvah of tzitzis, and I wanted to discuss some of the inyanim. So, you know, the pasuk says at the end, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hotzeti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Yod Lachem Le'Elokim Ani Hashem Elokechem. So now, the Gemara in Ezer Neshech in Bava Metzia discusses a whole bunch of mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentions Yetziat Mitzrayim with the mitzvah. And the Gemara asks, you know, why, right, why each one of these is mentioned. It talks about Shratzim, a bunch of other mitzvot. And Sitzit comes up in there. Right, and One of the things that it says in the Gemara, Rashi brings the Gemara. Rashi says, "Lama lema yetzias Mitzrayim? Ani hu shevchanti b'Mitzrayim ben tipa shel bechol v'lasheena shel bechol. Ani hu atid la'avchin v'lipara mi shetole kaleh ha'ilan b'bigdo v'omer tcheletu." Right. So says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "I was in Mitzrayim and I was mavchin ben tipa shel bechol v'tipa sheena shel bechol. I knew who was bechoros and who wasn't." Rashi over there in the Gemara says that we know that Mitzrayim were prutzim, and you know it wasn't so easy, you know, to figure out who the Bechoros were over there, right? You know, by us, a good Yiddish family, you know who the Bechoros are, but over there it wasn't so poshut, yeah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to be mavchin who was the Bechoros and who wasn't, and I'm going to be mavchin who's tole b'bigdo kalei ha'ilan. Kalei ha'ilan was a dye, a blue dye, which basically looked exactly like tcheles, and it says I'm going to pay back those that hang this Kalei Ha'ilan on their beged, and they say that it's Tcheles. That's what the Gemara says. Just like I knew what was going on over there, nobody else knew. Ani yodea gam et zeh. Right? Okay, fine. So it's a very interesting thing, right, to sort of, if you think about it, what's being picked up on. Like the Gemara in Menachos, Chazal also discussed that there was Rishoyim that they would sell Kalei Ha'ilan. Right, they would sell Kalei Ha'ilan and say that it was Tcheles. Right, you know, they would fraud people. Right, they would fraud people to buying this stuff and thinking that it was Tcheles. But you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chazal didn't say that. They didn't say that. You know, that problem. It's the problem that they were worried about over here is the person that's wearing it, right, and saying that she would tole Kalei Ha'ilan b'bigdov omet Tchelesu. Right, that's an interesting thing. Right, basically being a faker. Yeah, you want to save money, right? You wanna save money. Tcheles is more expensive, so you have this fake dye, right? So you put it on and you say that it looks like you're doing tcheles, right? Why is that the thing? Right? Why was that the thing that Chazal wanted? And that's why it's Mitzrayim. It's going back to like a big thing over here. You know, I took you out of Mitzrayim, and I'm gonna know the guy that's hanging Kalei Ha'ilan on his beged and saying that it's tcheles, right? So. The halei davahu, right? Something that to be mitbonen on. What's the what and why over here? Why is that the hadgosha on the mitzvah of tzitzis? Don't be a chitzoni person. Like why here? So we know also the famous Gemara. Everybody knows this. The Gemara Menachos. I think there's also a parallel Gemara in Chulin that Rabbi Meir says. Ma'inyan tcheles. Why Kadosh Baruch Hu picked the color of tcheles? So Gemara says because tzitzis tcheles don't miliyam, shodom milirakia, shodom milikisei akavod. Which is made of sapir, right? Yeah, and sapir apparently looks like tcheles, right? Whatever that means, right? So this is you know, in the mitzvah of tzitzis, so we have this haskora, we have this thing, we have this color called tcheles, and it's supposed to allow us to connect what we're doing back to the kisei hakavod. And everybody asks. Like, you know, everybody asks, this is a famous question that everybody asks, in Pshat in the Gemara, why did it say, you know, Do Yam, Dom Rakia, Dom Rikisei HaKovod, Tegid Yashar, Tcheles is Dom Rikisei HaKovod. No, it's stages, this, and takes you back, right? Why like that? Why progressively, right? In such a way? Stages. And at the end, it takes you back to the Kisei HaKovod, right? Yeah? Why over here in this mitzvah did the Kadosh Baruch Hu give us this haskara? You know, he could have found other ways to do it. You know, I don't know. So make the tefillin. There's a tefillin have to be black. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Yeah, maybe Hashem should have made the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The tefillin should be made of tcheles. Why? Because I'm yam, don't rakia, don't kisa covered. Yeah. Why dafke in the mitzvah of tzitzis over here did the Kadosh Baruch Hu want that we should have this haskara, this thing that reminds us, that takes us back to the Kisei HaKavod over here.
Let's ask Lechoya, what's the difference, what the material is, if it's going to remind you of Kisei HaKavod, it could be Kalei Ha'ilan as well.
Yeah, that's also a good question. Thing. That's a good question. He's asking also, why Tcheles? Why Dafka Tcheles? Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah, I didn't think of that. That's a good question. Okay, yeah, fine. So now, okay. All right, so... I want to approach this. I want to approach this from an angle of trying to understand the inyan of begodim, of clothes, of clothing. It's a very interesting inyan, right? In Torah, right? That In other words, there's a mitzvah of tzitzis. Tzitzis is ba'etim a mitzvah on your clothes, right? You know, we nowadays we wear a beged of tzitzis, but you know, kiyudua, right? In the Gemara and in the times of Chazal, it wasn't, you know, per se to put on a beged that's meyuchad so that you're mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzit. Right? That wasn't what it was for. It was any beged that you have four corner garments on, you put tzitzit on. So in other words, all your clothes they would have tzitzit. We knew there were tunics back in those days, right? There was tzitzit everywhere. You know, everyone looked like Rav Scheinberg. You know, lots of tzitzit hanging everywhere, right? Yeah. So zichrono lebracha, right? So but etzem the mitzvah of tzitzit, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants this inyan, this mitzvah. Or tzitzis and this idea of tzitzis on the inyan of clothing. Like why here? Right. So let's try and understand a little bit this inyan of begadim. So there's a Gemara which says, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Mani mechabdusi, my clothes give me kavod, they give me honor." Now, what does that mean? Right. So to understand what he was saying, Rabbi Yochanan, we have to understand what is this inyan of begadim. So we know, just think a little bit, that the whole inyan of begadim begins mamash at the Chet Adam Arishon. The most primal chet, right? There this inyan of begadim comes to the forefront. We know that the pasuk says that before the Adam and Rishon did the chet, they were both arumim, right? Veloit boshashu. There was no busha in that, right? The Torah points that out to us, right? And pretty much the very first thing that they're told to do, or that they did, right? They did, or they chapped to do, right? As soon as they've done the chet al arusha, they covered themselves, right? So why is that? Like, what was the inyan that was before the chet and after the chet, that there was a problem, there wasn't a problem, right? So the Nefesh HaChaim discusses this. He discusses this in Shah Aleph, in Perek Vav, right? He goes a lot in depth in one of the Hagars over there. He discusses very much what Adam HaRishon was like before the Chet and after the Chet. And the Nefesh HaChaim, he wants to paint a picture for us of the chasm between Adam HaRishon pre-Chet, right, and post-Chet. Says, don't think that it's like us, that, you know, we come out from Yom Kippur, we're all tahor, and, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, we're all thinking, eventually, you know, everyone slips eventually, right? So, you know, there's no, you know, and we work, and we, Bez Hashem, we keep steiging, we keep growing each year, but there's no, like, you know, I can't tell when you wake up in the morning, yesterday he did the chet, Baruch Hashem, right? That'd be very embarrassing, right? You know, if you could tell, you know, every time someone did a chet, it would be nikar on their face. There are people like that with chokhmah zeparzah, but Baruch Hashem, you know, most people don't have that, right? But Adam HaRishon before the chet was be'etzem kimat a different bria. That's what the Nefesh HaChaim paints this picture. He was the Yetzir Kapav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was Tzelem Elokim. The whole reason, that's what Nefesh HaChaim is coming to explain in Sha'alef. What is the inyan of the Tzelem Elokim? And he says, you have to understand that the Adam HaRishon, before he did the Chet, he was totally clean. There was no Tumah inside of him, right? He was the Yetzir Kapav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash says that the Malachim, when they saw Adam HaRishon, they bowed to him. They thought he was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was this absolutely magnificent, right, bria, right? And the fundamental difference between Adam HaRishon before the chet and post the chet, we know that there was the Eitz Hadas Tovara, that the Ra came inside of him. And what that means is the following, that when you saw Adam HaRishon before the chet, what you saw was a Tzelem Elokim. That's what you saw. The whole Tzurat Adam, every part of the Adam, we know that the Tariag Mitzvot, Akeneged, the Ramach Evarim and the Shasagidim, right? That means that every part of our being, Mibsari Echazeh Eloka, every part of us is Keneged, something Shibakdusha, part of the Torah, right? And when you saw Adam HaRishon before the Chet, that's what you saw. Yes, he had a guf. He had a guf. But that guf was something that was there to reflect something much deeper, much more sublime, much more higher. Right, you saw the Tzelem Elokim that was just bokeah from everything that he was. You saw how everything he was kol kulo kadosh. When the Adam HaRishon is in a matzav like that, right? There's no busha from being unclothed, right? Because the picture that you see is a picture of Tzelem Elokim. After the chet, now what happens there? After the chet, ultimately what happens is that the guf runs the show, right? The Ramchal, all of the Kadmoinim, they all discuss
they can't explain this fully now, but the place where the Yetzer Hara is Shochen is in the Guf. That's where he can be Ochezah. It's not that the Guf is Be'etzeh Medavar Tameh, because Hare, this is also something very important to understand. You know, we don't hold like that. The Guf is Be'etzem Tameh. We don't hold like that, right? That's why the Guf, the Pashto right to this is that the Guf Be'etzem should have lived forever. Should have lived forever. Misa only came after the Chet. Right? It means that the Guf Be'etzem isn't Tameh, right? And there will be something which is called Tchias Amesim, right? The Guf will come back. We've ruined it. But the Guf has this thing because it's lower. It's further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's more Gashum. It's thicker, right? That's where the Yetzer Hara lies. And when the Adam HaRishon does this, does the Chet, so what that means is he let this lower element of himself run the show. And what happens after that is that when you now, that expressed itself in him, in us, and the thing that you see, we actually exist in pretty much the exact opposite of how Adam HaRishon was before the Chet. When you look at an Adam nowadays, when you see a person, right, you be'etzem see flesh and blood. That's what you see, right? If you're and you know, we know that be'etzem, the people outside the Olam HaTorah, the goyim, that's be'etzem what they hold. That you're just, you know, a monkey with a bit more, you know, ram, right, or whatever it is, right? That's be'etzem what you are, right? Yeah, that's what they hold, right? Yeah, no, right? Yeah, yeah. Maybe I said the wrong thing. Ram, this, whatever. I don't know. Right? But that's what they hold. Right? When we see the Adam, when our experience of the Adam is that you're flesh and blood. Now there are certain parts of the Adam where you look at the Adam, and then you see that there's something deeper going on, and that's in the partsuf. In the partsuf, right? When you speak to a person, when you see it, that's panim, right? Kiyadua. Panim is the Zohar says is the same word as pnim, which means when you speak to a person's face, when you see a person's face, you see that he's not just that. It's a reflection of the Tzelem Elokim, right? That's where the Zohar says that the place where the neshama rests is around the head. That's where the guf and the neshama meet. That's where there's a synthesis between the neshama and the guf, and that's where it expresses itself in the face. And that's why the face, you see that there's more to this thing than it's just an animal. Right, you know, that's the experience. The experience that we have is that no, the Adam now is looks like a goof. If you look carefully, at your holy rosh, yesh la neshama. Right, yeah. The Adam HaRishon was the exact opposite. The exact opposite. He was a Tzelem Elokim. When you saw him, you saw Tzelem Elokim. If you looked carefully, yeah, yesh gam goof shama. Right, yeah. For sure, there's a goof there. That's what's housing the neshama. Right, but be'etzem you saw that he was a Tzelem Elokim in the whole thing. So then, what happens is this. Here's the nekudah, right? After he does the chet and the guf runs the show, when you see the Adam, there's a busha there now. And you could look at it from multiple ways, right? You could say because the fact that there is a guf, you see that there was a chet, there was a lowering of the Adam, right? He's lower, he's not the same as anymore, right? I think there's a deeper thing here is though that when a person is exposed and he's unclothed and he's naked, right, that's actually that's disloyal. In other words, you're not actually getting the accurate picture of what you're looking at, because it looks like he's just basar v'dam, right? That's all he is. No. An Adam is a Tzelem Elokim. He's something much higher. Right? That's what you are. When you see a person in their unclothed state, it's actually diminishing, and you're actually getting a wrong picture, right, of what you're coming into contact with. You're coming into contact, be'etzem, with the Tzelem Elokim, right? So what do? You clothe yourself. And this is what Adam HaRishon chapt. Clothe yourself, and the only thing you reveal is the face. Right? And because in the face, that's where you'd see the yichud, you see the Tzelem Elokim. I heard this from Rabbi Moshe Shapira once, Zichrono Livracha. He said, in halacha as well, the only place where there's no inyan to cover at all, right, is the face, right? Because there you see that you're talking to a Tzelem Elokim. There's no problem with exposing that, right? There's no issue there, right? He also said, by the way, hands. Hands is also no inyan to cover, right? And he said because you also are makir a person by his ma'aseh yadav, right? By his ma'aseh yadav, you also see yichud, right? You see a yechidus. You recognize someone from their face. You know, facial recognition, right? It's something that, because there you see Yehud, you see their nose, the Tzemach Kim, he's miyuchud, he's not an animal. There's something special about this person. It's nikar in the face, and it's because of this reason. It's where the neshama expresses itself, even for us, even after the chet. It's there. So there's no inyan to cover there. There you see that you're becoming into contact with the Tzemach Elokim. You see that there's something pnim, there's something deeper there. Right? There you can leave that exposed. Right. But everything else has to be covered now. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Mani mechabdusi. My clothes give me kavod. Because when I cover myself up, I allow now that the thing that you experience when you come into contact with me is my Tzelem Elokim. Right? Not this lower chelek of myself, which now post-chet is now at the forefront. Right? That's the inyan of begadim. That's the inyan of begadim. And kiyudua, yeah, kiyudua, right? Kiyudua, the word begadim is miloshon boged. This is like a famous idea, right? Because you can do the opposite, yeah. You know, the whole idea of the begadim is that it's supposed to allow you to express that you are a tzelem elokim. Don't look at me as a lower thing, right? Look at me as for what I am, a tzelem elokim. But then the danger on the flip side of it is that a person can use the begadim to, you know, create this facade as well. Yeah, you can do the exact opposite of what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to say something amiti, something express the real me, right? And I can use the clothes to do the exact. You look all this wonderful and wonder, but really it's all hollow, right? That's a bad thing, right? Okay, right. So that's the idea. So now, I was thinking about this, and I thought perhaps this. Okay, we can start to understand our questions. You know, Rashi brings tzitzis. Rashi on the parasha says tzitzis. The word tzitzit comes from lehatzitz ben min acharakim, right? From Shir HaShirim, right? Which means lehatzitz means to gaze, right? It means to see between, right? To see between the cracks. In other words, to try and discern. Right, it's a deeper type of looking. That's what means that seats. Right, you're peering, you're searching, you're looking. Right, that's what that word means. Right? That's what the word sitzis does. That's much the pirush hamilim. Right, if you think about it, you know the sitzis we know the gematria of tariag. This is the gematria of tariag, right? Which you know all the different ways that you work it out in the rishonim how you get to the tariag. If you think about it, it's this idea, right? The whole idea of clothing is that Be'etzem, my binyan, is Tariag. I'm a Tzelem Elokim. There's this mitzvah called Tzitzit, which is on my clothing, which the whole idea of the clothing is that it should bring out, you should look at the person and see him for what he is. Don't look at him in a chitzoni way, look at him in a plimiyus dika thing, that you're talking to a Tzelem Elokim. On this, there's a mitzvah called Tzitzis, which is Lahatzitz. So look deeper, on the clothes, dafka there, right? Because that's the inyan. And it's connected to tariag. There's a tzelem elokim in front of you. There's tariag mitzvahs in front of you. There's something which is built, right? Connected, the whole tzelem elokim, right? So that's, dafka on the clothes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you this mitzvah. And dafka on this mitzvah, not on tefillin or other mitzvah, dafka on this mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the tcheles, right? Which is this inyan of looking deeper. Say, Dhamiliyam, Dhamilirakiya. Don't make a covered, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demanding from us, everything about this mitzvah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demanding that you should look at the world and the thing that's in front of you in a deeper way. Don't just go for the chitzoni, don't just go for what's in front of you. No, understand that there's something deeper inside, and that thing can be accessed, and that thing can be expressed, and that's the way that I want you to interact with the world, right? And certainly with a person, right? Yeah. Dafka on this mitzvah that you have this inyan, right, of looking further, because that's what the inyan of begadim are, and that's what it's supposed to do for you, to bring out this deeper part of you, right? So you know, Reb Chaim Volozhin is something very interesting as well. You know, Reb Chaim Volozhin, I found this at the back of, I think it was at the back of Nefesh HaChaim, it has some droshes there or something, right? So the Reb Chaim Volozhin says that the a snake sheds its skin. Yeah? A snake sheds its skin. Right? Why does he do that? Why does a snake shed its skin? So the Chaim Volozhin says, like, unbelievable. He says, because the Nachash represents the Yetzer Hara. Yeah? The Nachash represents the Yetzer Hara. And Be'etzem, the Nachash, has a problem because he's in a lose-lose situation, essentially. Right? Because he was created to make you do Aveiros, right? But if he makes you do if you actually succumb to the Yetzer Hara, if you succumb to the Yetzer Hara, so then the Yetzer Hara has been a catalyst for Chilul Hashem. And he doesn't want that. Right? Yetzer Hara doesn't want that. Because now then he's doomed, that's why he's going to get shechted at the end, right? He's got to go, right? So Betzim, the Yetzer Hara, he's in this catch 22. He can't win, right? You know, either he does his tough kid and he's out, right? Yeah, right? Or he doesn't and he hasn't done his tough kid, so what's he here for, right? Yeah? So, but he says that the Nachash actually gives you a remez. You know, he gives you a remez of, like, he's almost telling you, don't listen to me. He gets rid of his skin, right? He gets rid of his skin. Because he's basically telling you, don't look at the world in a chitzoni way, because that's dead, that's hollow, right? There's nothing there, right? There's something deeper, right? If you look at the world at the outer layer, right, so then you miss the point, right? He keeps shedding his skin, because that's what he does. He makes you look at the world in a chitzoni way, he makes you only look at the surface, and he's shedding it. He's telling you, don't do that. Don't look on the surface. Look deeper. He's giving you a remez the whole time. That's what Ruchaim Veloshes says. An unbelievable idea, right? Yeah? He's the one that made you. You need the begadim now because now you've got a. Yeah? So this inyan of looking deeper the whole time. I think that's why Chazal picked this problem. Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hotzeti Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim. I was the one that was mavchim ben tipa shabacho ve tipa sheina shabacho, and I'm going to be the one that's going to pay back the person that. Puts the Kaleh Ha'il on him and says that it's Tcheles on him. What's this guy doing? This guy is showing something chitzoni, right, that's totally hollow. It's fake. Right? It's being fake. It's showing, so it's presenting an outer layer which has nothing inside. A hollow thing. That's the exact opposite of what this mitzvah is supposed to do. The exact opposite. Right. The whole reason for the Tcheles is that you should remember there's something deeper. The Tzitzis, Tariag, Lahatzitz, look deeper. Yeah? There's supposed to be something that's much more valuable Be'etzem on the inside than on the outside. This outer layer, this flesh and blood actually houses something much deeper in the Neshama. So when you go and put Kale Halilon on your Tzitzis, which again, it looks like it's Tcheles on the outside, but really it's not, right? It's Be'etzem, not the thing, right? So you're taking the whole mitzvah, the whole idea of the mitzvah is to get you to look at things deeper and take them to their spiritual root, and you're taking it, and you're making it a totally hollow, totally gashmiya sticker thing, a totally chitzoni thing with nothing inside. That is unforgivable, right? You missed the whole thing, right?
I don't see the difference.
So, yeah, but that's exactly the point. You're right, yeah? You're right. You don't see the difference, but it's not the thing, right? But it's not the thing, right? You are doing a pu'ula that says, I need tzaddik. I'm doing what Hashem tells me what to do. It looks like it is, but it's not. It's not. But etzem, you're not doing it, right? So that's the problem with this, right? That's the problem with this. Right? The whole inyan of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us with this mitzvah of sitzes, which is on our begadim, that we take it with us the whole time, right, is that we have to know that that the world has a deeper layer. The Adam houses something deeper. And that's how we have to interact with everything. You see it and you remember, right, that you're a Tzelem Elokim and everything in the world is a platform to be Megala Kedusha. Right? So don't use that and usurp it and make the world a chitzani world. So I think that's something for us to be mitbonen on. And Bezal Hashem, right? You know, Bezal Hashem will be zocher to be makayim all the tariyag, right? It says it's shakula keneged kol haTorah. So Bezal Hashem, we makad on this, will be zocher to keep going weiter. Yeah.
For that point, it's important, therefore, to be sure. You know, people wear what they think is tcheles. They're not 100% sure. So maybe one should be 100%.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There. Yeah. Look, I don't wanna get, that's like already. Yeah. But that's already. But there. At least they're wearing because and be'emet choshim she'ze tcheles, right? Yeah. Yeah. They're not doing it because they. You know. They're doing it. They hold it. It's tcheles, right? Yeah. The whole sugya. Well, yeah. Okay. Fine. I'm keeping much mouth shut. Okay. Fine. Bye. Yeah. Okay. Alright. Say it. I've come. Okay.
Okay. So. No, just to bring the words of the Chosh of the speaker to continue along that line, that the beginning of the Sedra and the end of the Sedra are always connected. And therefore, one of the big kashas that is asked about the Meraglim is What's your problem? Why are you got tanas against people? You sent them out to do a job. You asked them to spy the country. You gave them the agenda. They came back. They told you what they thought. This was their impression. And then after they're sentenced to death. Macha Tyson, what's the Yosha? It's a powerful kasha. They did their job. You asked them. That was their opinion. So to answer that, according to what he was speaking about from Tzitzis, it says Ireisem Oise by Tzitzis. And it also says at the very beginning of the Sedra, at the end there by Tzitzis, Veloisus Siri Achai Levavchem. So the word of Loisus Siri is also me'en the very same root of Vayusiri es Eretz Kenan. So you've got the two things there, Tzitzis and the beginning of the Seder, share an interesting verb.
Also, Irisem Esuretz.
Irisem Esuretz, yeah. You got Irisem Esuretz and Irisem Oise, which is another comparison. Loisu Siri, Vayu Siri. Losu Esuretz Kenua. The vote is like this. Like he mentioned, that the Nakida of Tzitzis is that you've got a blue thread going through the Tzitzis, and it's supposed to be something which is more you that. Tchelas is Doimel Yam, and Yam is Doimel Rukia. Rukia is Doimel Kisakovitz, Vemaila. When you see that, you are jolted, so to speak, or awakened, or aroused to think of the Rabbein Shlulim when you see this. A person who's working in British Telecom and sees one of those things, he'll think about the telephone cord, because that's the association that he might make with the Tzitzis. But it depends who you are, and that's the way you see things. Because the way you see things is essentially the cup is half full, cup is empty, half empty. So the way you view things is where you're really coming from. And that is the Tana against the Meraglim. The Rebbein Shlulam promised you a land which is Eretz Zuvas Chole V'Dvosh. You got there, anybody who goes to Tesuel even today sees an inviting, beautiful country from places where you've got summer in the winter, winter in the summer, places where you've got a seaside and a shore which is magnificent, sunsets in Yerushalayim. Anybody who goes to the country sees the inner beauty without going into depth. You choose to take magnificent fruits which are delicious and large, and you call it a country which decimates its inhabitants. It's a place which is ridiculously big, large. The neighbors are threatening. Everything that you see comes from a jaundiced eye. And the reason is because they had an ulterior motive. And their objective was really to protect their own seats. They wanted to remain Kilam Anushim Rushim Bnei Yisrael Haimo, even according to what we had earlier on Wednesday with the Shmiz that speaking about a glorious and beautiful sin. But the bottom line is you're supposed to do what the Rebbein Shlulam wants. And therefore, with this clandestine motive behind what they were doing tells you that the problem was, why did you see it the way you saw it? You've got the two things. If you can understand that by tzitzis, by seeing a trailer, you can think of Kisei HaKovet, it depends where you're coming from. And therefore it reflects to you the Rebbein Shlulam, even though all it is just a purple thread. But on the other hand, if you come to Tesuel and Ul Kisei is bad and rotten and negative and a place which is a self-destructive country, then there's something wrong with the way you are looking and viewing things. And the problem is not in the land, but it's reflecting the way you're looking at the land. And the way you're looking at the land is reflective upon you. This is some ha'ura, small one, if I may humbly add to the previous darshan. But the Chok Mavot, the Heim Tzinnemen of Shabbos Och, so they speak about something more. One of the questions which is raised is why is it when the game was up and the Meraglim spilled the beans and they said what they had to say against Eretz Yisrael, then Moshe Rabbeinu, the initial reaction was "Vayomer ish el uchev nit chavoyish v'nushiv v'mitzrayim." Come on, guys, time to go back. Let's go. Turn to Egypt and call it today. This whole
plan about going up to Eretz Yisrael is no good. When Moshe and Aharon heard these words from the people, then of course they supplicated, because this is a typical thing that Moshe and Aharon would do. You would daven in Eis Tzuva and think of Ben Shalom health. And that's what the Pusik says. Vayipal Moshe v'Aharon al Penayem, lifnei kol ka'as b'nei Yisrael, which is almost mean like Tachna, that they fell and they daven to the Ben Shalom to help. What did Yehoshua and Kulev do? V'Yeshia ben Gnin v'Kulev ben Yefine, min haturim es uretz, kori bigdai. So Yeshua ben Nin and Kulev ben Yefine, tor kriya. And then the Pusik adds the min haturim es uretz. How they say, Columbus hat entdeckt Amerika. We've been speaking about this for the past, beginning of the Pasha, that there were spies, and one of them was Kulev, and the other one was Yeshia ben Nin, and then the names change, etc. Everything fine, but Lamasa is, we do have an inkling that those two were part of the spies. Yeah? They were on the list of the people who were sent for this particular job. So min haturim es uretz is completely superfluous. So there's interesting Gemurah. The Gemurah says that there were Tanuim which lived in Bovel. They went up to live in Eretz Yisrael. And when they went there, the Gemurah says, Chad minon, kisalek lehusem, have a kitrai menua. Which means that one of those guys, like Rabbi Yochanan, who went from Bovel up to Eretz Yisrael, became so great that when they returned, we noticed they became increased, double in their stature, double in the intellect, because avire the Eretz Yisrael machkim. There is something amazing about the atmosphere that permeates from Eretz Yisrael into the minds of those people that are affected by it, that it's machkim and it makes them into cleverer people. So now, there are two attitudes to this whole story with the Meraglim. One would be Moshe Rabbeini and Aharon HaKohen, which means an Eis Tzuva. What do you do? Davenen zum Eibishten, Rebbeinu Shloilem, help. That's if you think that there's still hope. When a person tells Kriya Rachmon Elzlon, that's how they say in Yiddish, when a session nuch alam, the game's up, it's finished, it's all over. Then a person tells Kriya, which is a symbol of, that's the end of the story. Yeshia Benin and Kulev Ben Yefine recognized at this point that there's nothing to do. Moshe Rabbeini and Aharon HaKohen were davening because they had hope that maybe the Rebbeinu Shlomo would intervene on a positive note. Therefore, the Pusik says very beautifully, Vayipol Moshe V'Aharon al Penayim lifnei kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, that Moshe V'Aharon fell in prayer and a supplication to the Rebbeinu Shloilem, because they hoped that the outcome would still be good. So therefore, that was the Nefilas Hapayim. Therefore, the Pusik stresses, V'yeshia benin v'kulev ben yifune min haturim es uretz. Those two were different, because they'd already been into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they were affected by the atmosphere in Eretz Yisrael, which is avire de Eretz Yisrael machkim, and they were ready to see in a vision ahead that, boys, you're wasting your time. It's a done deal. There's nothing you can do. And they ripped their garments in Kriya and they said, Seshnuch Alam, there's nothing that you can do. Yidden are going to die in the desert until the age of 60. And all this generation are going to perish. And the only ones which are going to go into Eretz Yisrael are brand spanking new generation. That was one thought. Then there is also a very interesting, I'm trying to choose which one to say, but this is a power pack. So, you know, much has been spoken about on the psychological level of this week, so especially on the Chagovim and on the locusts and on the ants and on the variations and the themes, and the Kotzke Rebbe's famous. But there is also a very interesting Rasha just at the beginning, where Rashi speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu's advice to the Klal Yisrael, and he says to them, you should know something. I'm going to tell you something, I give you a secret, a formula. How will you view the country when you go into it? What are you supposed to look for? So they says, the Achuzo Ki Arufe, which means, is the land strong or weak? And then Rashi says, Siman Musalohem, as if this was a sort of insight, a viewpoint, a vision where you could look beyond What is it? Im bepuzim yoshvim chazukim hem. If they are in unwalled cities, they are strong. Shesaybchim al kavirusam. Im beurim betzirasem yoshvim. But if they dwell in fortified cities, chalushim hem. So you think about that. How did they call the famous in France when in the Second World War they had this huge
Maginot,
which was impenetrable, and this is what the Germans were. At the end of the day, made the laughing stock of the French, yeah, because they came into Paris within a week or so, and the whole Maginot was imagination, yeah, there was Gunish mit Gunish. So, but the mass is, they prided themselves with this fortification, with this strength. Look at this, we are impregnable. So if you go into a room by a party and you see two people, one of them is holding forth and he's talking and he's the star of the evening and he's making an impression as if he's, you know, enjoying the crowds and enjoying the attention that's being lavished on him. He's a charismatic person. Another side of the room is sitting another fellow just observing, sitting there in the corner of the room. What might be your impressions? Initially you would think, you know, the one who's sitting there in the corner quietly, this is really not much in him, and therefore he's sitting quietly. The other person, he's confident, he's exuding a sense of self, and he's preaching to the crowds. And people who look beyond that might recognize that it's actually completely the opposite. That the one that's lavishing all that attention is really because he's lacking a sense of self, and he's really very, very insecure inside. And the only thing that makes him feel that he's somebody is when he's got lots of people listening to him and that he is the star of the party. The other one feels very comfortable with himself. And he's fine to sit on the side and to observe and to watch other people. He has no issue about attracting crowds. So which one is the more secure? So the Elie Meir Bloch, if I'm not mistaken, was the one that made this insight here. Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, don't be mistaken. You can have guys in the Twin Towers built up to the ceiling, and now look at America. They're not so confident anymore in their abilities. It takes a severe blow. Really deep down, they're quivering. They're not really as strong as they felt that they were, not militarily. And we're speaking about also the example of the Maginot was also an accurate one. The one that built all those fortifications are not necessarily the mighty cities that you might they present. Inside, they might be very weak, quivering individuals. But those Bedouins that live out there in the tents and they've got no protection whatsoever, and they live in the sunshine, and you think to yourself, you just go in and take what you want, you just try them. And when you start to fight with them, you'll see a ferocious man come out from under there who is able to stand his own. And you see that the people who have got no fortification, no cover, they're in fact the strongest. And that's the simon that Moshe Rabbeinu told them. It's about people, it's about inhabitants, it's about warfare. And he said, simon ze musa lohem. It's as if he was saying to them, don't look superficially, just start to look beyond. And then he said, im bepruzim yoshvim, if they're sitting in unwalled cities, chazukim hem. That's the simon that they're really strong. They don't need to come to anything. You might think we are walkover. Try us. But if they are in Urim Betziris Yoshim, if they're fortified cities, and they look like they've got these mighty walls around them, everything else, you should know the truth of the matter is Chalushim Hem, weaklings. It says Gunish with Gunish. Chaps. Kalski said to Mahalkin, he said to Hagumi, he has to say two things. One thing he said, you say, Haini, by name, we would like to end the eyes. He said, listen, we are not going to be able to do that. What other person thinks? If you feel that you're not going to be able to do that, you can't. You can't say with conviction what other person thinks.